You're listening to the FQXI podcast. Now, from listening out for communications from other worlds to creating other worlds in the lab, physicists hoping to understand how the rules that govern the very small, quantum mechanics, can be made to fit with those that hold sway over the very large, general relativity, have been struggling to find systems to test the effects of both theories together. Now, Keith Schwab, a physicist at the California Institute of Technology, is aiming to give them some help by creating an artificial system with the equivalent of 100 million times Earth's gravitational field.
Heavy.
This system, built from an accelerating nanowire, mimics the surface of a neutron star and could help those hoping to understand more about quantum gravity, as Schwab told reporter Corinne Pickemer.
In the early part of the 20th century, brilliant minds like Heisenberg, Schrödinger, Bohr, Planck, and Einstein came up with the foundations of quantum mechanics. This theory, which is notoriously hard to comprehend, describes the motion of the subatomic world extremely well. Despite its success, it has been difficult to match it up with another heavyweight theory, general relativity. Our classical world looks nothing like the quantum world in which particles can behave like waves, be in multiple places at once, and even be linked with particles in a completely different part of the universe. What makes macroscopic objects behave differently from microscopic ones? It could be that gravity destroys quantum states and makes particles behave according to classical rules, as Keith Schwab thinks. If so, then to truly understand nature, we will have to unify quantum mechanics and Einstein's theory of gravity, general relativity. This is the aim of the field of quantum gravity. But since quantum mechanics and general relativity usually operate on such vastly different scales, it's tough to devise a way to test both of their effects on a single system. Schwab, who is a professor of applied physics at Caltech, has worked on the conundrum for over 15 years. By harnessing the principle of equivalence, which is the idea that there is no difference between acceleration and gravitation, he and his colleagues have found an elegantly straightforward way to create the extraordinary circumstances needed to bring quantum mechanics and gravity face to face in the lab. I caught up with Schwab on Skype at an unearthly hour for him, he couldn't sleep, to discuss the exciting new avenues his most recent discovery might open up. But first he explained the research that has led up to it.
This proposal is together with a long-term collaborator, Miles Blanco at Dartmouth University. And what Miles and I have been looking at for nearly 15 years now is trying to understand, you know, what can be done with quantum physics at large length scales. In the past, the way that we've approached this is to look at the quantum behavior of small mechanical structures. When you think of the fundamental particles, like electrons and photons and these small particles, they have this weird duality of both being acting like a particle, like a fixed little point in space, and also they can act like waves. So they can go around obstacles and interfere with themselves and do all kinds of things that waves do. The thing that we were interested in 15 years ago was, is it possible that collections of these small particles, like a billion atoms all linked together to form a little piece of solid, could aspects of that object, could it have quantum properties? Meaning, could you see quantum physics at large length scales?
The collection of small particles or nanomechanical structures they created are large enough to be observed under an optical microscope. The striking thing was that the objects did seem to follow the rules of quantum mechanics.
The most surprising kind of behavior that we were after was looking, let's say, at a superposition state where a mechanical structure is both deflected to the left and deflected to the right at the same time. And in quantum physics, that is a reality that's possible. And you see that kind of realities in experiments with atomic-sized particles. We wanted to see whether that's possible with larger particles. The punchline of that whole line of thought is that, yes, indeed, you can do quantum physics with mechanical structures. You can see the fact that the motion of a mechanical device, you need the quantum mechanics to describe its motion properly.
The mechanical devices are constrained by an uncertainty principle, just like other quantum objects. They can never be at rest, and you can manipulate their quantum fluctuations. In fact, it seems that you can do more or less everything that you would expect to do at quantum mechanical scales with these relatively large objects. The circumstances needed to directly test quantum gravity are extreme and hard to achieve. It is thought to only apply when large amounts of gravity are very tightly packed together into very small spaces, circumstances we generally only find in deep space. But with the help of a $44,000 FQXI grant, Schwab and his colleagues may have found a way to create these extremely high G-forces in the lab. Schwab explains how.
The interesting thing that we noticed was that small mechanical objects, when you shake them, and they can shake at high frequencies, some of them can vibrate back and forth at a gigahertz, which is a billion times a second. If you make them small enough, like a micron scale, so they're vibrating at a billion times a second. And if their amplitude of motion is just a nanometer, which is a small amplitude of motion, it's like, you know, 10 atoms deflection, it turns out that the acceleration of these mechanical devices is incredible. And you can easily realize in experiments that we do in the laboratory and, you know, devices that we and others make, you can get accelerations that are 100 million times the acceleration of gravity. So the, you know, gravitational field on Earth has, you know, if you drop something, something accelerates, and you can realize accelerations in a mechanical structure that are 100 million times bigger.
Einstein's theory of general relativity states that there is equivalence between acceleration and gravitation, meaning that when you are looking at high accelerations, you're also studying the physics of very intense gravitational fields. So by shaking their mechanical devices so rapidly, Schwab and his team are effectively creating high acceleration and therefore extreme gravitational fields. By combining their ability to create larger nanomechanical structures that still adhere to quantum mechanical principles with the ability to create high accelerations of these structures, they have made a powerful tool to help shed light on the unification mystery. Schwab again.
The gravitational fields that we're talking about are the same as the intensity of the gravitational field on a neutron star. Imagine the mass of the sun compressed into 10 kilometers. So it's about 10 to the 8 Gs of what we have here on Earth. And so I can't go to a neutron star to do experiments, but I can do this nanomechanical structure in a laboratory and simulate the gravitational fields on a neutron star. If we have devices that are quantum mechanical, they're in quantum states, and we have these enormous accelerations, then we start to have laboratory experiments where we can study the connection between gravitation and quantum mechanics. That's the punchline.
This ability to probe the connection between quantum mechanics and gravity in the lab opens up numerous directions for research.
What we'd like to do is to just to do some basic quantum interference experiments first, which is, you know, essentially launch quantum waves, you know, of whatever type, and then let them go two different paths and see if they can interfere. And so that's a basic kind of interference experiment that is done with light or, you know, done with matter waves. And now we're just learning how to do that with large mechanical structures. We're starting to poke around and think about how we might perform quantum interference experiments that utilize the high accelerations. And so Miles Blanco and I are working on a paper that we're going through review right now, where we basically look at the quantum mechanical phase shifts one would get if you had a device that was accelerating this fast back and forth, and to actually try to measure these kinds of phase shifts.
At this point in our conversation, Skype froze and we had to revert to a phone line. Once reconnected, Schwab told me there was more.
Other experiments that we're working on in the lab that are related to this is we're also working with a superfluid device to try to see quantum physics of motion, like in the mechanical structures, but with like gram scale samples of superfluid that are vibrating back and forth. And so we're trying to keep pushing this boundary of quantum physics to bigger and bigger length scales. You find the domain where the physics seems to work, and then you just keep trying to expand this domain. Ideally, you try to expand it to domains where it looks pretty ridiculous. Like seeing quantum physics at a meter length scale is kind of a ridiculous idea. We're willing to accept that
the tiny particles can act strange and do all their weird stuff. But, you know, in the end, the matter around us, and maybe even us, are just collections of these small particles. So there's no logical reason to think that the collection of small particles, which is a large object, wouldn't behave in strange ways as well.
The ability has the potential to shed light on one of the biggest questions that has puzzled even the cleverest physicists for decades.
If the world is relatively well-behaved and boring, meaning it's as we think it is, then we should be able to show that we can get quantum phase shifts from very intense gravitational fields, or in this case, very intense accelerations. And that's something that Miles has worked on directly, is calculating exactly how big these quantum phase shifts should be. But like I said, if the world is relatively well behaved, then this is what we expect to see. We actually expect to see quantum mechanics working properly in these intense gravitational fields. If the world is more interesting, then we don't know what we'd quite see. It's kind of the Donald Rumsfeld of the unknown unknowns. But, you know, we just have no physics experiments to date in this kind of environment. So it's an exploration of a new parameter space. That's the first thing that we would gain from this. But, you know, in the end, the really interesting aspect is finding out whether quantum mechanics works as we expect it should in these kinds of intense gravitational fields.
Because quantum gravity only reveals itself at extreme g-forces that even the most advanced particle accelerators can't achieve, the field has been a mainly theoretical pursuit. But by combining his earlier work, in which he showed that the motion of nanomechanical structures does follow quantum rules, with the realization that he can make these structures vibrate so fast that they reach extreme g-forces, Schwab is giving the physics community the tools to probe quantum gravity in the safe comfort of the lab, as opposed to the violent environment of the neutron star. Now Schwab is keen to spread the word as widely as possible so that other physicists can start to find answers to their own quantum gravitational questions by using his setup in their own labs.
It's pretty routine, actually. Like, the devices are not particularly special and those amplitudes are not particularly high. So it's mostly a realization that these parameters are there, and we need to knit together the community that thinks about quantum gravity and the community that thinks about quantum physics at big scale. And those two groups don't often talk to each other. So this is at the interface between those two. My excitement in all this is just, hey, we can access a parameter space that's totally beyond what people thought was possible. And, you know, so let's go play there and see what happens. Let's write some papers and tell people about the parameters. And hopefully there's some really smart, deep thinking theorists on the other side of the planet who see this and are just like, yes, this is what I've been waiting for.
That was Keith Schwab speaking with Corinne Pickamer there. On the podcast page, www.fqxi.org/community/podcast, you can read more about Schwab's work in an article by Corinne, in which she also discusses whether gravity caused the transition between the quantum and the classical realm. And that's something that other FQXI members are looking into too, and we'll be following up with more from them in the coming weeks. So keep an ear out for part 2 of Corinne's report, coming soon.